Zinc Media. Feel the power of knowledge.
It is I, your lovable host, L. Rod, coming to you live from my bunkerized home studio somewhere within the great granite state of New Hampshire, where the state motto is still live free or die. It is not big government or bust. And yes, I checked again today. Speaking of today, it is Tuesday, May the 19th in the year of our Lord, 2015, which means we're now heading towards the back half of May already. We are in the back half of May. This is the 19th, and half would be around the 15th or 16th. So we're on the back half of May now, and it's unbelievable how time flies when you're having fun. The phone number that you wish to, if you wish to dial me this evening, is 603-835-3224. That is a toll-free number, 603-835-3224. And there's a program that I caught on Hulu the other night, and I thought it was it's a takeoff or a spinoff, if you will, for one of my favorite reality shows. And I don't watch reality shows, but I don't think the Shark Tank is really so much a reality show as it is I don't know what you'd call it, an opportunity show. It's kind of like the Prophet is kind of a reality show, I guess. I think it's with CNBC or something like that for the Prophet. Again, I catch that on Hulu too. But it's amazing. It's about business, obviously, and when I look at all of these people around this country who claim that they don't have opportunity. They just claim that they don't have opportunity. We don't have opportunity, Rod. And I look around and I see these folks that appear on Shark Tank. And some of them literally are 12, 13, 14, 15-year-olds. They get assistance from their parents. And a couple of times I've heard, some of these kids... they're 14 or 15 years old. They come up with an invention and their parents believe so much in the invention that they get a second mortgage out in the house or something, or refinance the house to help the kid. One of them who did that was a water bottle. It was a different type of water bottle. You could create your own fruit infused water, flavors within this water bottle. Allow you to do it. I think he's got some patents on it or what have you. But evidently his mother and stepfather took out a second or third, whatever. They refinanced their mortgage. And the kid, he was on a Shark Tank. And all the sharks said, they passed. Simply because they felt that the parents weren't there. But the parents did put up money for... The product for their house, but the thing that I find interesting is that in the next Shark Tank or the spinoff, it's called Beyond the Tank, and it follows later some of the people that the sharks invested in. In this particular case, this kid, none of the sharks invested in him, but they previewed or showcased this kid anyway with the water bottle. And as it turned out, he decided that he wasn't going to let the Shark Tank define his goals and dreams. And so he pressed forward, and he got his product onto store shelves himself. You know, he finished developing the product, and basically, you know, his sales took off, and he's still in high school, but he paid back his parents, he paid off their mortgage, so, you know, this company's kind of debt free. So it kind of behooved him not to get a deal. And there was another character who did get a deal with Barbara Corcoran. Was it Barbara? I think it was Barbara. Anyway, it had something to do with an interchangeable bikini. Yeah, it was Barbara. And it's, you know, it's a custom designed bikini. You could create your own bikini. You know, it doesn't really matter how you did it, but you could create your own bikini through and mix and match different, you know, fabrics and such to put on the same bikini and have it custom made for you and sent to you. But they had an issue with the site. The site crashed simply because of the guy appearing on Shark Tank and Barbara deciding to invest in him. And you know, he went and blew a lot of his money on a party to you know, celebrate being on Shark Tank and getting a deal, and but he didn't pay attention to the fact, well, something could have happened to the website, so he's going to need the money in order to get it fixed. Well, ended up that the website crashed and he never recovered. So he went out of business before he even got started. But now he's back, and you know, he's got another idea, I guess. I don't know what it is, but I don't think he's going to be on Shark Tank anytime soon. But it just shows that no matter how old you are or how many times you think you fail, there's opportunity for you to get up, get back up, and jump on your feet and do something. Be productive with your life. And not be defined by those who want to call you failure. You know, earlier today there was somebody who was on Facebook who was talking about P. Diddy and how P. Diddy was lamenting the fact that, you know, the black on black crime was pretty devastating to blacks. You know, they were basically wiping themselves out. And the people that were commenting on it, you know, they were other blacks, and they were saying, this fool right here. And I'm thinking, you know, I'm not a huge P. Diddy fan. I'm not a part of his fan club. I'm not a fan of his, you know, I like some of his songs. I'm not a huge fan of his music. I'm not a fan of, you know, of his business practices. You know, he had that reality show, too, you know, a while back. I saw, like, 6 episodes. I wasn't a big fan of Diddy. But he's got a point. And it's kind of shameful that those who are also black would put down another black person for pointing out the truth. And here's the truth. You know, black on black crime or black on black murder far exceeds cops killing blacks, either justified or unjustified or combined. The number of blacks who die at the hands of other blacks exceeds cops killing blacks. That's just a stat. Now, you toss on the fact that in some major cities in the United States, more black babies are aborted than are born, and you start to see where P. Diddy is coming into play here and what he's saying. He's saying, you know what? You know, we're basically wiping ourselves out faster than anybody else can. And the numbers, the population numbers, do not lie about that. The black population in this country is on the decline. So this whole thing that, you know, it's all white people's fault. No, 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 no. We got to take some responsibility for ourselves here. You know, if you stop murdering your babies in the womb by having them ripped out via abortion, well, you're going to have more babies. And you know what? I understand the fact that too many of them are already being born in poverty into single mothers and all that kind of stuff, and that needs to change too. But at the same time, you don't change the whole system by killing your babies. I mean, you can't keep your population base the same, and you can't grow it if more people are dying than are being born. Yeah, you hear what I'm saying, folks? But at the same time, these folks are saying, well, you know, why? What's the use? We don't have any opportunity. And I got to tell you, watching Shark Tank, there have been a lot of minorities that have gone through the Shark Tank doors that have gotten deals. You know, Damon John isn't the only one who's invested in a minority business on Shark Tank. These people come through the Shark Tank door with an idea, with a concept that they can prove, and the sharks see it. You know, they're all about money too. They're all about money. You know, it's business. Business is business. And they look at money as, you know, and they say, okay, we can invest in this because we expect a return. We expect to make money with your product or service that you're going to offer. And we think that you've done a good enough job with it, that it is something that other people are going to want to part with their hard-earned money for. So these people are, I mean, there was, what was the kid? The kid was like 10 years old. He was a black kid. He was like 10 or 11 years old. And he created his own line of bow ties. And I think his line of bow ties is now going to be in Macy's. I mean, the kid was like 11 years old. He didn't get a deal from the Sharks, but Damon John agreed to mentor him. The kid came up with the designs. Look, I'm not a bow tie fan. And personally, I don't like them. The only time I'm going to wear a bow tie is if it's an ultra formal affair and everybody's wearing tuxedos. You know, all the guys. And then you wear a bow tie with a tuxedo. But other than that, I don't wear a bow tie. This kid loves bow ties. He invented and created his own bow tie designs, his own bow tie line, and now, you know, they're in a major department store. So you want to tell me that this kid, you know, only the African Americans who appear on Shark Tank, they're the only ones who can find opportunity? Really? Hey, you know, it doesn't matter the color of your skin because that type of excuse runs the gamut. Although there is one ethnic group, actually there's a couple of ethnic groups I don't hear that type of BS from. You know, I don't hear Asians or Asian Americans saying that there's lack of opportunity. I don't hear them complaining about that. I don't hear Indian Americans, Indians from India, complaining about lack of opportunity. I mean, well, when it comes to Native Americans, I don't hear them complaining about lack of opportunity either. I hear them complaining about government keeping them from opportunity, which is really the case here. When it comes to Native Americans, let's be honest, that is a Native American plight. It isn't the fact that there is no opportunity for them. The fact is that, and they lament it, they can't get from under the thumb of the federal government. And let that be a lesson to people who want government to be a big brother or a big sister to them. You got a whole class or group of people or ethnic people in this country who don't want to be a part of the problem, but they're often not allowed to create their own solutions. They're not allowed to run their, I mean, the Bureau of Land Management that runs, Native American lands, they don't let Native Americans pretty much do what they want to do with their own property. You know, well, no. You know, the Native Americans, they say, well, we want to deal with, you know, other businesses in other countries on our own, on our property. And the government says, no, we'll handle that for you. So even though they can see opportunity, unless they, you know, decide that they're going to come up with a casino, they're not really allowed to be in charge of their own destiny. And yet, they already know that there's opportunity there. They're just not, believe it or not, they are not allowed to utilize that opportunity. But everybody else in this country is. And we want to, you know, just talk about, well, we don't have any opportunity. Are you kidding me? There's opportunity all around you. I don't care where you live, especially today with today's technology and how cheap technology is. And you have the internet. Look, there are people that have started internet companies that didn't even own their own computer when they got started. I talk with entrepreneurs all the time, And there was a particular entrepreneur around here in New England. Now, basically how she got started. She got started on eBay and Amazon. Now, how did she do? She didn't even have her own computer. Not only did she not have her own computer, but she lived in a rural area. There was no internet access. The only place that she could get internet access was at her public library. You know what she did? She went to the library every day for 6 months. She ran her eBay and Amazon business from the library for 6 months. And then she was able to get her own computer with the profits from that business. And then she was able to get, you know, a Wi-Fi carrier services, you know, like the hotspot thing. She was able to do that type of thing. And she was able to, and now, you know, she's earning six figures a year. Yeah, she's expanded beyond eBay and Amazon. But the whole point is she saw an opportunity back in 2008, 2009. She got started by going to the library and utilizing what is available to her already. And now she's a contributing member to society. Yeah, and she even employs a couple of people part-time. That's a huge turnaround from not even having a computer and internet service to having, you know, full internet service and being able to employ and pay for a couple of people. Yeah, in other words, now she's paying taxes and, you know, her employees, her part-time employees are paying a little bit in tax too. So there you go. Opportunity. She took advantage. The difference is that we have an abundance of opportunity in this country for everybody. The problem is that most of us who complain that we don't have opportunity simply do not take advantage of the opportunity that we have. We do not look to create opportunity for ourselves. We want somebody else to just drop opportunity in our lap. But a lot of times you have to go out and create it. You have to look for it. You have to search for it, and you have to create it. And that is one of the reasons why I think Shark Tank is such a huge and phenomenal success. Not to mention these sharks the sharks are coming back and admitting they're making a killing off of this stuff. You know, and we have people that are starting these small companies, and they're building their businesses and employing real people. I mean, that's the good thing. That is it. That's what this country is all about, is not only having the opportunity, but taking advantage of that opportunity. I mean, you know, we've got opportunists all over the place. There's good opportunity and there's bad opportunity. We have good opportunists and we have bad opportunists. Now, the bad opportunists, they tend to be the scammers. They tend to be the criminals. They tend to be, a lot of times, politicians. But the bad opportunists are always out there blaming and condemning the good opportunists. Now, who are the good opportunists? The good opportunists are probably people like you and me who start a business, even if it's just a part-time business, just to help them make ends meet. The good opportunist is the one who takes advantage of the system, that it legally takes advantage of the system, to come to market with an idea, a product or service that other people want and are willing to pay for. And then another good thing about a good opportunist is that these people will start to, as a business, their business grows, their opportunity grows, they begin to hire new people. I had somebody, and I can't remember, Genesis something. I think it was Genesis. Yeah, this person approached me about a multi-level marketing company. And it's a nutrition firm, and there are tons of them out there. And he was really excited about it. And evidently, he's doing quite well. I'm thinking to myself, you know, well, yeah, there's another one. Okay. Look, I get approached by these things all the time. You should do this, Rod. You should look. I've been involved in one way or another with multi-level marketing companies called Old World, Amway. Everybody knows Amway. and Polar Communications, which no longer exists, by the way. Neither does Old World. So I'm pretty familiar with this stuff. And every day, you know, or every week, it seems like there's a new, especially the big ones now, is communications and nutrition. Like, well, now there's multi-level marketing companies for deregulation on energy. You know, have a network of people who buy electricity from another type of company instead of the standard. Like around here, we have the old standards, which are, you know, PSNH and Public Service in New Hampshire, Granite Electric and Unitil and a couple of others. But we have these companies now. I think one of them was it Ambit, I believe, is opening its doors here, virtual doors here in New Hampshire. Again, opportunity for people who want to take advantage of it. It's there. Now, I am not endorsing any of them. I'm just telling you that I've been approached or I've participated in some of these things. I've participated in Amway. I've been approached by people in Melaleuca and the Fuller Hair Brush thing and Pampered Chef and Ambit and a couple of other energy deregulated energy company whatever. And some nutritional companies people have approached me about. Look, those are fine if you want to take advantage of them. That's opportunity. And the good thing about opportunity is you have the ability to choose your opportunity. You don't have to take any one of them. You can choose an opportunity that is best for you. I mean, I don't understand why that is such an issue. It comes right down to it. You're the one responsible for you. You're the one that should be responsible for you. I understand that there are people that are lamenting the fact that in some municipalities around the country, they're cracking down and making it illegal for people to feed the needy, feed the homeless. You know, and they're saying, well, how can we be called a Christian nation if it's illegal for us to feed the homeless? Well, we are a Christian nation, and there are Christians out there trying to feed the homeless, but then we've taken God and Christianity out of the public square, if you will, out of government. So our government is very secular now. And in many of these places that it is illegal for a regular person or a group of people or a religious group to feed the homeless, you know, they're run by liberals or Democrats. So, but they say, well, how can we call ourselves a Christian nation? And then they uphold people like Bernie Sanders, who laments the fact that, you know, we can't feed, we've got all these laws against feeding the homeless. Well, Mr. Sanders, your big government cronies are the ones who are saying, they're the ones that are trying to shut down opportunity for people, like with the Native Americans. They're the ones who are trying to prevent people from doing good. They're the ones who are trying to prevent good opportunists. And then when a good opportunist finds a way to do something legally even today, you've got those who are bad opportunists like Mr. Sanders who want to shut them down, who only want you to be dependent on an ever-increasing bigger and bigger and bigger government. If somebody says big government's the answer, you know for sure they're a bad opportunist. Run.
Hi, I'm George Foreman. Do you have an idea for a new product or invention? People ask me all the time, George, how do I get my idea in front of companies? How do I get a patent? What do I do next? I'll tell you like I'll tell them all. Call my friends at InventHelp.
Call InventHelp today for free information. InventHelp can submit your invention to companies who are interested in receiving new ideas. Call InventHelp today.
To get your free inventor's information, call 1-800-352-1609. That's 1-800-352-1609.
If you want to work until you keel over, have less of everything in retirement, or give back more of your hard-earned money to the stock market again, then just ignore me. But if you'd like to protect the money you save, receive a steady, predictable retirement income, and enjoy financial security for as long as you live, then listen to this. You can download a free report that reveals the wealth-building secrets Wall Street and the banks don't want you to know. You'll learn how you can get guaranteed growth, safety, and real prosperity without risking your money in the Wall Street casino, and how to get the money you need when you need it, simply by asking for it. This is the best way to have a 100% secure retirement and know your money will last as long as you do. To learn more about this method and to get your free report, go to 52security.com. That's the number 52security.com. 52security.com. Go to 52security.com.
Hurt or injured in a car accident? It can be hard to take the proper legal action after a car accident, but waiting can cost you more. The law requires car accident victims to assert claims promptly. You could lose out by simply waiting. Call 800-709-4667 right now to see what your claim could be worth when handled by a skilled attorney. With a lawyer fighting and speaking up for you, you could be entitled to a big cash award. Call 800-709-4667. That's 800-709-4667. Now it's fast and easy to connect with the legal help you need after your car accident. Call 800-709-4667. The call is free, but you need to act now before time runs out on your claim. You need a lawyer to fight for you, protect you, and get you the compensation you need and deserve. Time's wasting. Call 800-709-4667. That's 800-709-4667. Call now.
I considered suicide so I wouldn't put my family through all the pain.
Many of our warriors are returning home from the battlefield, only to face a new war, as they struggle with devastated injuries. At Wounded Warrior Project, we understand. We're there to help.
Even though you think you're broken, you're not. It's the physical and the emotional healing that Wounded Warrior Project provides.
With a gift of just $19 a month, you can join Wounded Warrior Project. You'll help provide critically needed programs and services that rebuild lives.
Beautiful!
The ongoing needs of our wounded and their families will continue for many years to come. Now is the time to show your support. Call now or go online with your gift of just $19 a month and we'll send you this Wounded Warrior Project blanket.
It made me feel that there's people out there that care about us.
After this event, we can finally maybe start to heal as a family and move forward.
We need your help. The families are hurting.
For many of our wounded heroes, the greatest casualty is being forgotten. That's why your gift of just $19 a month is so important. Please call or go online right now.
You shouldn't have to pay to talk to the people closest to you, or the people who used to be. That's why Umbrella Wireless is proud to announce the new Friends, Family, and Recent Ex-Girlfriend plan. Now you'll get unlimited calls to your best buddy, your mom, or Cindy, once she realizes that you're seriously meant for each other and should stop screening your calls. Now the 30 minutes of agonizing silence where you're both afraid to hang up may drain your battery, but it won't drain your wallet. And you'll get unlimited calls just to check if she still cares enough to pick up, with no extra charges. With a Friends, Family, and Recent Ex-Girlfriend plan, your phone will automatically answer calls from your ex, because maybe she finally realizes that you're the only one for her and wants to get coffee sometime. Now, after lonely nights of looking at pictures of the road trip you took together when everything was great, your misspelled texts are absolutely free. The only thing you have to pay for is the booze. The Friends, Family, and Recent Ex-Girlfriend plan. Because she wants you back. She just doesn't know it yet.
Listening to The Rod Eggle Show.
You know, bad opportunists are just going to be bad opportunists no matter what. They're always looking for how to capitalize on the negative. And by capitalizing on the negative, they are lining their own pockets with power and cash. The Clintons are like this. Hillary Clinton is a bad opportunist. She's not a good... Can somebody tell me what have the Clintons contributed to society? You know, they've worked for government most of, you know, the vast majority of their adult life. They've never run anything themselves other than campaigns. They've never run a business. They've never, other than Hillary being a part of the Rose Law Firm, I don't think they've really, they're kind of like the Obamas. I don't think they've ever really held a private job, a private company job. You know, they've always been in the public sector somehow or feeding off the public sector. A bad opportunist always finds a way or looks for a way to take advantage of those who are trying to help themselves. That's a bad opportunist, folks. And you can look at a lot of them are in politics because it's the easiest. I hate to say it's a profession, but it's the easiest profession there is to conduct and commit a scam on the largest number of people and get away with it. Bad opportunists are always looking for scams. Now, in this state, we got one of our Republican legislators, Frank Ginta, I guess, is being called to account for some campaign spending that he did that was probably questionable and not above board. I don't know the whole story. Ginta's a Republican. But I'm, you know, look, if the guy did something that was not legal as far as campaign financing rules are concerned, he should resign. There are Republicans that are, a Republican senator here, Kelly Ayotte, is telling Ginta, yeah, if I were you, man, I'd resign. You don't get that same kind of call to action from Democrats when it's another Democrat. Now, of course, a Democrat's going to say, yeah, Ginta should resign. Yeah, he should resign. Now, I don't know I don't know the full scope of what he's alleged to have done. But here's the thing, you know, if he's not guilty, then hell no, he shouldn't resign. But if he knows he did something wrong and it was brought to his attention that he did something wrong, yeah, he should do the right thing and resign. But Democrats would never do that. Democrats would never call for one of their own to resign unless it was just so obvious. I mean, look, they're still supporting Hillary, and there's just no possible way that you should be standing behind Hillary Rodham Clinton. I mean, I don't know. We should change her maiden name Rodham to Rotten. Hillary Rotten Clinton. Somebody said we should call her hilarious. So yeah, okay, hilarious Rotten Clinton. I think everybody would know who that is. And you know, somebody would probably say, Rod, you can't call people names like that. Well. Look, this is just commentary. I'm not disparaging the woman, although some people think I am. I'm just saying what she has done and committed and what she is alleged to have done is just plain rotten. It's terrible. The woman doesn't deserve to be the nominee for president. Now, all of these allegations cannot be false. She's just look, she's in Richard Nixon resigned for less than this. And yet this woman is seeking, she's not resigning anything, but she's seeking to be the nominee to be president. What is she going to do? Get in office and then let the scandals come out and then she's going to be forced to resign? You know, and whoever her, I don't know, whoever her second in command is, whoever the vice president is she decides to be, is automatically going to be president. Look, this is not House of Cards here. We do not need to end up with a Francis as president. Okay? This is not that at all. This is what we're leading up to. Can you imagine this? This woman, by whatever possibility, gets elected, duly elected, legally elected to the office of the presidency. And then the shit hits the fan. And it all comes out that everything plus more that we've been talking about on her is proven beyond a reasonable doubt. It's all true. Everything. And then there's more doubts about stuff when she was first lady of the U.S. and of Arkansas. So now she's high crimes and misdemeanors. She's got to resign. She resigns, and then she gets pardoned by whoever the vice president is. Can you imagine if that's Elizabeth Warren? I mean, or if it's maybe, I don't know, maybe she'll ask Bernie Sanders. I don't know who would actually be on the same ticket as she is, but maybe it's Elizabeth Warren, an all-woman, all-female ticket. Yeah, if you're going to make history, you might as well make history big time. First, not only first female president, but first female vice president, first presidential ticket, all-female presidential ticket. And then of course she'd be the next two presidents, the first time ever back-to-back presidents were female. Yeah, all kinds of history there if Elizabeth Warren jumps on board with this. I'm just saying. And Democrats are all about their legacy and creating history and being a part of history and being the history and all that kind of stuff. So how you can't get bigger history than that, really, than what I just said. So maybe Elizabeth Warren. Vice president. Then, do you want Elizabeth Warren to be president? Anybody? Well, I'm sure there are probably some, wacko leftists in Massachusetts who would love the idea. But generally speaking, does anybody really want Elizabeth Warren to be president? Well, that's kind of a dumb question. And the answer to that is obviously for probably, I don't know, at least 75% of the American people, the answer would be no. But Hillary would be so encumbered that she would not be able to be an effective leader, and she would have to resign. And then Elizabeth Warren would, I'll pardon you. Whatever you did, we'll just drop the whole thing so you can save face and go off and with your husband Bill. And I don't know if you want to stay married to Bill, go ahead. But that's what it is, folks. She's a bad opportunist that doesn't give a rip about you or me. She's only caring about lining her own pockets and achieving power. I mean, in the last, since she's left office of the Secretary of State, I just heard today, some $51 million or something, some god-awful amount of money for speeches. It's a ridiculous amount. You know, it's nothing more than, it's basically she's just taking advantage of bad opportunity. She's a bad opportunist, plain and simple. I mean, no, Democrats are, I know some people are probably saying, well, Rod, the Democrats aren't the only, the politicians in general, the vast majority of politicians are bad opportunists. I'm convinced of that. I just look at the actions. I look at their individual histories. The majority of them, a good number of them are bad opportunists. And it is our duty as voters and citizens to try to weed out those bad opportunists so they stop creating bad opportunity for the rest of us. And they stop lining their own pockets. Look, she's a bad opportunist. Bernie Sanders is a bad opportunist. The man is nothing more than a communist. He'll go out there and he'll explain and try to say, you can't feed the homeless now. Well, we can't feed the homeless because who? Government says that we can't. And who's in charge of the government? Well, people like Bernie Sanders. But he's going to go out there and complain. It's kind of like Obama. Yeah, I'm fighting for you. I'm fighting for this, fighting for this. He's the reason that the problem exists. He's not willing to take, I'm the president, I'll take responsibility. When it comes right down to it, he doesn't take responsibility for Jack. It's always George Bush's fault. We're over 6 years in this guy's administration, and you know, a lot of things are still the fault of, I am sure he's probably sitting there thinking that, you know, Ramadi, which just fell to ISIS, is somehow George Bush's fault. You know, we're talking Iraq. Because, look, you can already see the buzzards in the White House, being bad opportunists. They see an opportunity here for the president to inflate himself and to inflate the Democratic Party. Bad opportunities. By blaming somebody else, oh, no, we don't see a need to change our policy on ISIL. No, notice they never say ISIS. They never say ISIS. The White House, they always call it ISIL. There's a reason for that. Because, you see, Obama doesn't like Assad in Syria. So you cannot call it the Islamic State in Syria because the Islamic State, they're terrorists. They're in Iraq and they're terrorists. But in Syria, they're heroes. So they can't say ISIS, but they can say the Islamic State in Libya. Because remember, this is where, you know, our embassy was our consulate was attacked and our ambassador was killed along with three other Americans in Libya. Remember? Look, they don't do anything by accident, folks. I'm telling you, it's called bad opportunity, bad opportunist. You have to pay it. You have to see. I catch this stuff. You have to listen to what they are saying and what they are not saying, because they're trying to grab a hold of opportunity in a bad way that benefits them and harms the rest of us. And it benefits them because they'll either get to keep or increase their power and their wallet size. Plain and simple. That's what a bad opportunist does. Now, if you listen to all the press conferences, they always seem to say ISIL, not ISIS. And so we have now ISIS in charge of much of Iraq, knocking on the door to Baghdad. But they're saying, you know, we don't need to change our policy on ISIL because, you know, sometimes, you know, whenever there was, you know, we had to take a step back in the policy, we've been able to take a step forward or two. You just lost another major city in a very important region of Iraq that is very close to the country's capital. Now, if now is not the time to change your policy on ISIL and ISIS, I don't know. When is the time going to come? Oh, when they actually take over Baghdad and they're in charge of the entire country? Not to mention, then they'll have access and have access to and own all of the American military equipment that's still there in Iraq. Hello? Look, folks, this is not a good thing. A bad opportunist is a bad opportunist for a reason. They're not after good stuff. They're not after to help you and me. They're not after to better our lives. They're only after to find a way to make things better for themselves. They're all about them. They're not about you. A good opportunist looks for ways to, you know, Zig Ziglar once said, if you help enough people get what you want, you will automatically get, if you help enough people get what they want, this is Zig Ziglar speaking. If you help enough people get what they want, you will automatically get what you want. But see, an opportunist, all they're looking for is a way to get what they want. They could care less what you want or need. If what you want or need actually fits their plans, well, that's a bonus for them. Because then they're not going to have to fight you in any way. They know you'll willingly come along. But if last summer, let me give you another example. Last summer, here in New Hampshire, I saw somebody selling a 1977 Chevy Impala. Now, my parents had a 76 Impala. It was that 70s green color. It was, you know, it was the exact same car that my father bought in 1976, basically, but it was a 77. And it had that awful white vinyl roof on it. You remember, vinyl roofs were the, you know, that was, if you couldn't afford leather, but vinyl was like, oh yeah, that's the next best thing to leather. That was an option. A vinyl roof was an option back then. When you look back on these things now, and you think, oh my God, those things were awful. They were ugly. But yeah, and the person who had it and was selling it, he's like, you know, this would be, yeah, this is a classic, he said. Now, I stopped and looked at it because as I was driving by, I'm like, whoa, that's my dad's car from like 1976. So I turned around, I pulled in to take a look at this, and this guy's, you know, it's on a dealer lot, by the way. It's on a used car lot, and he's calling it a classic. Now, I don't know if an Impala from 76 or 77 is really a classic. I don't think it is. But he's calling it a classic. Well, you know, technically speaking, by the age, yeah, it's a classic car or an antique, whatever. But he's calling it a classic, and I know what people mean by classic. And this boat is not a classic. I mean, let's face it, they were not exactly pretty cars by any stretch of the imagination. You know, during 76 and 77, yeah, it was called a beautiful car. But looking back on it, you know, we look at some cars, you know, from days gone by and say, you know, that was a beautiful machine. I don't think people say that about a 76 or a 77 Chevy Impala. But so this guy has, you know, he's an opportunist. And I'll let you decide if he's a good or bad opportunist. So I'm pulling in. I pull in and I look at this thing. Because it caught my attention because it's my dad's car. And I get out of my car and I walk over to this thing and he comes out, you know, as they always do in the shark, used car sharks. And before I know it, boom, he's on top of me. Hey, how can I help you? She's a beaut, isn't she? That's a wonderful classic, isn't it? And as soon as he looked, said classic, I kind of, you know, the way I look at people as if they're crazy, I gave him my, you got to be kidding me, you're crazy look. And I, you know, furrowed my forehead and said, you want to call it a classic? Okay. I just pulled over and stopped to look at it because my dad owned this car. I mean, not this particular one, but he owned this model. He said, oh yeah, I get a lot of people that come in here. You know, they want to get the car that their parents had that they remember. Now I'm registering BS all, you know, I mean, I see BS written all over this guy. Really? You get people coming in here to look to buy a car simply because their parents had it when they were kids. Really? I'm not buying it. So I'm looking at the interior, you know, bench seat, vinyl. Not leather, vinyl. You know, vinyl, again, vinyl is a big thing back then. Because not everybody could afford leather. Leather was saved for Cadillacs. So the vinyl, bench seats. And it had a special stereo. Now, it wasn't this. My father had an aftermarket stereo. Now, the stereo really wasn't a full stereo. Basically, it was a cassette deck that he had added to the car. And it was, they were separate speakers for the cassette deck that weren't hooked up to the radio. And this car had a special radio or hooked up. It was a cassette, but it was a radio and a cassette. So it was an aftermarket, a stereo system of the day. And it was connected to these speakers. It sounded almost, from what I remember, it sounded just like my dad's. They were terrible. There was no bass. Basically, to these things, it was, you know, it was all mid range and treble, and they sound, you know, by today's standards, they're like, oh, it hurts your ears, it sounds terrible. But back then, I guess, you know, it probably sounded very good. And so it had this thing in there. I'm thinking, well, you know, I don't have cassettes anymore. Who has cassette tapes now? Because, oh man, a lot of people have cassettes. Because you can pick them up for a song. Everybody's got them everywhere, man. All you got to do is just plop it in here and it's going to sound great. And he had a cassette and he plopped it in there and said, see, it still works. And that's how I know the thing sounded like crap. But this guy was looking to make a sale, and he thought, at least he was telling me, that I was like a lot of people that come on his lot looking for a particular car that their parents had when they were little kids. I said, you know, interesting. And it looks like, I said, it looks like the, you know, vinyl top looks good. He says, oh yeah, this is mint condition, original. Now I'm looking at it and I know the difference between an aftermarket roof and not. This is not the original roof. Again, is this guy a good opportunist or a bad opportunist? This is not. See, the problem with vinyl back then, just like my dad's, even though he took care of it, it cracked. This didn't have a single crack in it. And we're talking a 1977 car. This is not the original vinyl roof. But he's playing it off as it is. Like, I'm not supposed to know. Maybe many people don't. But he lied. So yeah, this guy was trying to take advantage of me. That's a bad opportunist. And then I look at the engine. Because, yeah, this thing's only got, you know, only got 200,000 miles on it. 201,000, whatever. 200,000 miles on it, basically. Again, I'm looking at the engine. This is not the original engine. Where's the original? But he's trying to pass this off as being the original car. There's stuff that's been replaced on this. You can look at it and tell. But he's trying to pass it off as being all original. Thus, I guess, to try to justify the inflated price that he's trying to sell this thing for. In other words, he's trying to take advantage of someone. Now, that's what politicians do. Because everybody who comes in the lot whose dad probably had a 76 or 77 Chevy Impala four-door is probably thinking, yes, I want this to be exactly like my parents' car. They are looking to get, evidently, from what he says, they're evidently looking to get a memory, a piece of their childhood. And he's there to provide that for them. In other words, he's there to take advantage of them to try to convince them that he's got what they're looking for. He's not interested in actually looking for and helping them find exactly what they're wanting. He wants to fit what he has to their needs and their desires. And he will twist it any way he possibly can in order to get his way. That's exactly the same thing a bad opportunist politician will do. Instead of saying ISIS like everybody else, they'll say it's ISIL. Because they know ISIS is not going to get them what they want. But ISIL changes the whole perspective. This is ISIL, not ISIS. We were thinking ISIS. Oh, I'm sorry. We got the wrong terrorist group here. No, folks, it's the same thing. Don't be fooled by this. These people are all out for themselves. And they're basically saying, you know what? We believe that you're stupid enough not to pick up on this fact that we're calling them ISIL because we don't want you to associate them with Syria because we want to get rid of Assad in Syria so that ISIS can have a state, a true state. Well, I guess ISIS doesn't need Syria because they're putting a hurting on Iraq. And unless the president changes his policy, which maybe he doesn't want to change it at all, ISIS is going to own Iraq. Then you're going to see some real bad opportunists starting to take some play. Oh, well, hey, we have this, you know, fully armed and advanced terrorist state now. Oh, we're going to need some additional laws here to protect the people here. Bigger government. Don't doubt me, folks. A bad opportunist will look for a good opportunity anywhere.